Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Walden. My guest today is Leonardo Raspini from Tenuta Argentiera.
Hello, ciao Monty.
Which is in the Bulgari region on the Tuscan coast. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, Leonardo, tell me a little bit about the azienda Argentiera. First of all, the name Argentiera.
Yeah, Argentiera means a silver mine. This is a place where the ancient people, founded some minerals very important for their life. This means, in particular, the Etruscan.
Is that why they call it the Colline Metallifere?
Colline Metallifere is very not far from here, just by road, but by air. There are only 20 kilometers. So this means that this area can have the influences in terms of minerals, in terms of soils, due to this kind of rocks.
And also metal.
So yes, Argentina, metal, a lot of metals. Yes,
lead,
silver,
I think.
Iron was one of the places where the Etruscan people find these minerals. And this is why Argentiera take this name 20 years ago when started. Okay. Because we're in a place where there were abundance of these minerals in the past, of course.
Okay, so when did you join?
I joined Argentiera just 6 months ago. So I'm very, very new in Argentiera. But I worked here in the area for a lot of time. 20 years ago, so I'm Tuscan and I'm very...
You're Tuscan?
Yeah, I'm Tuscan, of course.
Where were you born?
Where I worked there before.
Where were you born?
In Florence, close to Florence.
Oh, so you were born in the north?
In the south of Florence, close to... Cisa Valdarno is the name of this little village, so on the road for Arezzo from Florence.
So that's sort of the high Chianti area. Now you're closer to the coast. We're actually right on the coast. You've got a fantastic view here of the coast. And so what are you, the winemaker? The viticulturist, what did you train for?
I'm an agronomist, I started with the ecophysiological part, and I started the response of the plants to the climate, not changing, but to the climate conditions. So
this was, we're not talking about today, we're talking about this is 20 years ago?
20 years ago, yes. 20 years ago I started with I'm an agronomist, so I'm talking of everything about the agricultural status of the...
So you were studying, it could have been wheat or vines, or was it just vines you were studying?
No, I studied on everything.
So what you were studying there was their response to changes in the weather?
Yeah.
So what, their hormones and things like that?
Yes, the roots and the capacity of the plants to adapt their behavior to the environment. When I studied the business of the viticulture in Tuscany was so important, so I very quickly I went to study the vines and the behavior of the vines.
Did you come from a farming family?
Yes.
So your parents had a farm, or they worked in agriculture?
Yes, my grandfather was involved in agriculture and farmer management of little farms, but he was very proud to be a farmer.
Was he doing cereal crops, or cows, or pigs, or everything, or?
More pigs than cows, but because in Tuscany, of course, the settlement was for little animals more than the big one. So big ones, so in this moment, he was perfect management of rabbits.
Rabbits?
So he had a lot. So I'm very... So it was my feeling in agriculture led me to study agriculture.
Do you like, do you like Vernaccia di San Gimignano, the famous white wine from San Gimignano? They always say that, when you say, what do you drink it with? They always say rabbit. they always say rabbit. That's the
coniglio.
Best. Yeah, coniglio.
Coniglio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your childhood in the north of Tuscany,
yeah.
A farming background. Studied agronomy.
Sí.
Obviously did very well. You're a very good student.
Okay.
laureato.
Yes, laureato.
Yeah. And then what was your next step?
The next step was the time to begin with vines, with the in particular to the vineyard management and the choice of rootstock, for example, the right rootstock, the right variety, and I learned a lot from nursery management. And after that, I began 20 years ago, more than 25 years ago, to work with estates. From Chianti Classico to, in particular in Chianti Classico in Umbria. I worked in Umbria with the Lungarotti family, and after Lungarotti I came back in Tuscany, in Montalcino, and after in 2001 I arrived in Borgheri with Ornellaia, and now I'm here after other 15 years. So I'm very lucky because Tuscany is my center in my activities, and working with Sangiovese, with Vernaccia, and I worked with a lot of varieties, and I felt and I tried to felt the sensation of each variety.
Your background is very interesting, because when people think, oh, you know, this guy, he's got a job at Ornellaia with Lungarotti, some of the most famous names in Italy, you're not there by accident. You're there because of your background. You've got hands-on experience as a young person on a family farm. You've studied and you know about the DNA almost of vines and rootstocks, and it's so important when vineyards are being planted that you get the right rootstock, because that is the foundation of the plant, right?
Yeah.
And the right clone or sign, you want to call it, whatever, it's Sangiovese, whichever clone of Sangiovese. And you're the kind of person that would save people a lot of money by avoiding making easy mistakes, right?
To avoid, I've always tried to avoid mistakes for the people that pay me, or for myself, of course, in terms of satisfaction, in terms of acknowledgement. It's not an easy way. In these years, I've learned that the real things for the plants are the fruits, of course. I have learned a lot about this. And for me, the rootstock is part of the interaction between soils, environment, and the quality of the wine.
It's where terroir begins.
Exactly. It's what means terroirs when I learned that was what terroirs means in the past. If we have to add another things to the concept, is the time, because sometimes we forget that everything is changing. So you have not to understand the relationship between soils, man's and variety, but we have to in microclimate or micro or
mesoclimate.
Exactly, but we have to understand something more. We have to try to understand something more about the timing that pass for all the three things. For the soil, because the soil, of course, becomes another thing after 20, 25 years, 40. In France, after 50, 60 years. So it's another environment where the plants have to find the right balancement to produce something that is so important for us, because we produce grapes for wines. So.
Do you get really excited when you're working for an estate and you know you've made, say, 3 or 4 or 5 vintages there, and you just know it was a badly planted vineyard, it had the wrong rootstock, the wrong clone, and when you take that vineyard out, when you go to sleep and you think, okay, I can finally turn that piece of land around and put the proper grape variety on the proper rootstock, planted in the proper way with the proper soil preparation, and I know that for the next 20 years, unless I do something stupid in the vineyard, say a pruning, that vineyard is going to give me good wine. You must have a big smile on your face.
Yes,
when you...
yes. This is something that you can find on your job or in the job of some others, because in terms of quality of the vineyards, when you work, we are involved in this business, you have to not only to find your capacity in what you have done, but in what the others have done before you. So the incredible thing is to arrive in a place to try to understand what was in the mind of the people that have had the occasion to plant a vineyard in this occasion, or to plant a tree. A tree for me is not the same, but have the same significant. You find in a vineyard planted 40 years ago, I was not involved there, but I can feel in a vineyard, a very old vineyard, sensation that I have to interpret it, to give to the seller, to give to the commercial part, to give to the communication skills, to give it something that can give words to that place.
And, are you saying, like, for an older vineyard, and you see got an old old vineyard and a newer vineyard.
Yeah.
Are you saying that in the older vineyard, maybe you'd prune it a little bit more gently than a younger vineyard? You can be a little bit more robust with a younger vineyard, say, at pruning. And you're looking at this older vineyard and think, okay, it was well planted, and I really want to make sure that this vineyard lives as long as possible. So the workers must be very careful when they prune.
La potatura is one of the more important parts. And the old vineyard, when I arrived in there, after 25, 30 years, is what means the age for the vineyard. I have just to... I know that here in Bulgaria, in Argentiera, the older vineyards have 30 years, are 30 years old, so it's not younger. But you have to take care your capacity to prune, to interpret the vigor of the plant, to give more deepness in the life. And we have a lot of occasion to make mistake, because the plants have to be just managed, interpret the vigor, the balancement. We are just close to here, a few meters from here. You can see from these windows, for example. You cannot see from the phone, but there is a beautiful vineyard there where the plants just express themselves in a natural way.
In a very free way, yeah.
Yeah.
How is soil management changing with climate change? Obviously, Tuscany is a very hot, luminous...
Not too much, but...
Yeah, not too much, but it's a luminous place with plenty of sunlight, plenty of warmth, and also sometimes plenty of rain. How is your work between the vine rows with the Sauvetchi cover crops and things like that? How is that
more
changing?
More and more Sauvetchi. We are now...
So Sauvetchi is a cover crop?
Yes, cover crop is to succeed and to give to the plants a friend.
Yeah, some food, some indirect food. You
exactly.
Feed the soil and the soil
the
then
soil.
Feed the
Exactly. It's something that we have learned a lot in the last 25 years. When I was young, in one of my first job, I started just the interaction between Trifolium subterraneum.
So that's subterranean clover?
Subterranean clover, exactly. Yep. To give to the roots more organic material. And today we manage more and more, because every year we add to the soil again organic material. To understand the soil is the first step to understand the behavior of the plant. So we in Argentina manage the rows with cover crops made by wheat.
So what do you sow?
Wheat, for example, and Oryza sativa.
So this is barley.
Exactly.
Barley is great because it gives you organic matter.
Organic material to give cellulose, to give carbonium to the soil. To
replenish the soil. Yeah.
Exactly. And part of trifolium, glovers.
Clover,
nitrogen mulch, and vecchia is another kind of
leguminose. Another nitrogen fixer.
Yes. So depending on the different site, we use more cereals or more legumes. So depending on to defend the soil from erosion, or depending to the
temperatures
quick,
as well.
No, not only to the quick that the roots have to develop to arrive to the right volume
in the right yield,
exactly in the right moment for the plant, because May. Is the month where the plants have to adjust the vigor between the vine and the wheat. So it's not easy, but it's easier than you can imagine, because every year we have to change something.
Barley is great because provides a lot of organic matter,
and
it's not too expensive.
Exactly.
And the seeds are big and are easy to sow if it's a bit windy. Clover, trifolio, three leaves.
Three leaves.
Clover. They're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The seeds are very small.
Yes.
And if it's windy, chivento, and you're sowing, it can be difficult. Vero?
Yeah. Vero, verissimo. But the barley here in this area, for example, was a perfect meal for the birds, of course.
Yeah. And so they get free
you
food.
Have to, always you have to manage the two. So between the wind, between the rains that take with... So we have, in this moment, we have the technical capacity to go inside the vineyards and have the to see it.
The effect.
The effect, because we have the right machines to do it.
Yeah, you need to be attrezzato, as I say. You need to have the right tools.
To have a
right
good result, always you have to be very, very well, ben attrezzato.
Okay, so let's do a quick tour of Tuscany, and then we'll talk about Argentiera, all of the wines that you make here, okay? So, have you ever worked in like Chianti Classico?
Yes, I worked in Chianti Classico, close to Castellina for the last 4 years, and before in the 90s for another winery. So
So tell me a little bit about what makes Castellina special. It's quite a large comune. It's quite a large comune.
Yes, one of the two biggest communes, but has two different sites. It has a beautiful sites just in the upper, close to Castellina, and in the east of Castellina, with a lot of rocks, so a lot of sandstones and
arenaria
and galestro, not too much abundant galestro, but arenaria is more abundant. And in the passage between Castellina and the west of Castellina, so well exposed to the sun of the west, to the sunset,
and closer to the sea as well.
Closer to the sea, but particularly it becomes a mix between the rocks and the clays. So there is an area, a zone, where these overlayers between rocks and clays become so interesting in terms of development of the Sangiovese, of course. So the higher the altitude, the level of ripening is depending of this. And don't forget that Argentiera, Bulgari, always are situated on the evolution of the soil, a younger soil than inside Tuscany. So, because here we are positioned on the what the erosion made in the mountains of Tuscany 50 million years ago. Here it is a more younger soils, and so we have more vigor. Plants are very well suited, but of course this is the reason, because Sangiovese is well developed inside Tuscany, and here is well developed the Cabernet Sauvignon, the Cabernet Franc, and the Merlot.
Have you ever worked in Montalcino?
Just a few. I worked in Montalcino for Angelini, Trinimente Angelini, and so Sangiovese. I worked in San Montalcino in some experiments.
And the name of their estate in Montalcino, come si chiama?
Val di Suga.
Val di Suga,
exactly. I worked for Val di Suga for 3 years, not only for Val di Suga, but for San Leonino and Chianti Classico. So it was a group, that one.
And then with Longarotti?
With Longarotti, in Torgiano.
Okay.
So Longarotti was in Umbria. In Umbria, and I worked with in Col d'Orcia, but not for the state Col d'Orcia, but for the University of Florence, that in '90s started something about the rootstock and the rest. So I worked there for. So Montalcino is another beautiful place where I was lucky. I'm lucky because I found a different situation. And so different from here, because in Bulgari we have just our horizon is just one for each producers, the sea.
It's interesting you talk about Col d'Orcia, because I had to do a presentation on Sangiovese recently, and I emailed them about clones of Sangiovese.
Exactly.
They sent me an email that was about 450 pages long with all the different clones that I'm sure you played a part in helping develop, with different code numbers and different phenological expression. The photos of the leaves are bigger or smaller or whatever. So, and you realise how slow wine can be sometimes, the years of work that goes into and then the years of work of matching it with the right rootstock and then the right terroir and etc. And people sometimes think wine is easy, and you see this, you think no, it isn't.
No, it's absolutely easy to give.
Okay, now Tenuta Argentiera, allora.
80 hectares here in Bulgaria.
So how close are we to the sea?
Oh, the vineyards closer is just around 1 kilometer and a half.
That's your closest vineyard to the sea?
Yes, we are the closest. Not the closest, but one of the closest, absolutely. And the average of our altitude is the higher in Bulgari, because we have 40 hectares where we produced our flagship wine, Argentiera, that are situated between 200 meters and 150. So in these 40 hectares, we select the Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot to produce Argentia.
So you've got one of the highest vineyards in the denomination,
yeah?
Yeah. Is it the highest or not?
It's not more the highest, because there is another little parcel higher than this one, but the difference
for the
is...
Estates,
Yes, for a bigger estate, we can manage more than half of our surface in average altitude of 150.
Okay, let's talk about the wines from Argentiera.
Argentiera represents another aspect of Cabernet Sauvignon. We have Cabernet Sauvignon style, so the 50-60% of our blend is Cabernet Sauvignon.
So that's for the main, that's for which wine? What's it called? It's just called Tenuta, that's for the flagship wine, the Tenuta
Argentiera. It's Argentiera. So yeah, Tenuta Argentiera produce Argentiera as a flagship wine. So as happens, the second wine is Villa Donoratico, and we produce Villa from, it's not exactly a second wine in the Bordeaux concept, but Villa Donoratico arrived from an area of 20 hectares close to the northern part of our estate, and we produce Villa Donoratico with more Merlot and a touch of Petit Verdot, in difference respect to the Argentiera blend. Argentiera is Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. Villa Donoratico has a percentage of Petit Verdot to complete the blend.
Next wine?
Poggio a Ginepri, or in the future?
Yeah, now. No, the ones that you made.
It's Poggio a Ginepri.
So that's a, you make under the Poggio a Ginepri, that's the Juniper Hill.
Juniper Hill, exactly.
And you make a Bianco, a white wine?
Yes.
A Rosato?
Rosato.
And a Rosso?
And Rosso. So,
so these are the entry-level wines, are they?
Yeah. Okay. The Poggio, a Ginepri level, is red, white, and rosé. And for Villa and Argentiera, of course, we use the best opportunities.
The best grapes, yeah?
The best grapes, in particular for Argentiera, but in particular... From the Argentiera areas.
So do you still make Villa Donoratico?
Yes.
Okay, so what is, why the name Donoratico? What is Donoratico?
Donoratico is a little village that is very close to Argentiera. So it's the place where it's close to the sea, and it's the place in the area, because we are in the area of Castagneto Carducci. So Bulgari is represented by 100% in the Castagneto Carducci area. And Castagneto Carducci is the village in the hills, and Donoratico is the village closer to the sea.
To the sea.
Where a lot of inhabitants live. So the people here lives in Donoratico.
So basically, Bolgheri is what's called a frazione, a fraction of...
Exactly.
...of Castagneto
Carducci.
Castagneto Carducci.
And Donoratico is the other...
Frazione, so it's the other place. Frazione is like a place name,
like
or hamlet.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And Bulgari is the historical place where the history was the place of the family, ancient families here, della Gherardesca. Donoratico was the place of,
Was the lookout, I just made a lookout sign, there's the lookout, was the lookout station, because this area of the coast was subject to, could be subject to attack by the Spanish, for example.
Exactly. Okay.
So you also have, who is Ofelia Maria? That's another one of your wines.
Oh, it was a funny history, it's not funny, but when Argentiera was owned by Fratini family, so the first owner of Argentiera was this family arrived, it was in Florence and in Prato.
So when were they the owner then?
They sold Argentiera in 2016.
Oh, so they were the original owners, were they?
And now is Stanislaus Turnauer. Argentiera is owned by Stanislaus Turnauer. He's a businessman, but he doesn't love to be called businessman. But he is, of course, chief of a very important company in Austria. He was so in love with this part of Tuscany, and that he decided 3 years ago to move this family from Vienna to Florence, and after from Florence to Borghi. He lived very close to Borghi, and he bought this estate in 2016. But I'd like to develop the best this property because it's beautiful and he needs to take care.
To fine-tune,
exactly.
Were you working before he bought the estate? Were you working here before then, or did he hire you?
Yes, I arrived with Stanislaus, but in particular, the CEO of Argentiera is a good friend of mine because he studied together in University of Florence. Federico Zirei del Verme is the president of the DCU Borghi, the appellation, and is the owner of another beautiful estate, the Castello di Borghi. So he's the more representative man in Borghi because he lived there, just in the castle of Borghi. And just in the beginning of the year, he know that I was in changing my, like looking for a new experience. He said, I need help. So he remains CEO here and I became general manager. So now we have to go ahead in the development of Argentiera.
So you're at the beginning of your experience here.
Yes.
So is this your first harvest, 2019?
2019 is my first harvest in Argentina, yes.
Okay. Well, we wish you luck with that because the harvest is going on.
Yes, going on. We are just in the half of the harvest. We have so beautiful Cabernet Franc this morning and tomorrow the same Cabernet Franc. And it's a beautiful, beautiful vintage.
So from your perspective, which are the easiest grapes to grow in this particular terroir where you're very close to the sea, and which are the slightly more difficult ones?
Okay, the Cabernet Sauvignon is something that arrived from the mind of Niccolò and Marin Cisaro, che so Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc.
To the Sassicaia effect.
Yes, but of course we are more closer than Sassicaia vineyards to the sea. So for us, Cabernet Sauvignon is more important than Cabernet Franc. Cabernet Franc, you have to find really the fine tuning and the relationship between and the ratio between the quantity and the quality. The quantity is the Cabernet Sauvignon is more easy in these terms.
It's more robust and
the quality, you can obtain beautiful quality for Cabernet Sauvignon if you have the right place and the right soil, of course, but in this condition it could be very interesting. Merlot you have in Bulgari is more difficult because you have to find the ripening, and sometimes it's very quick, the ripening, not this year, but sometimes could happen. The more difficult grape variety in Bulgari probably is Sangiovese, but of course my good friend of mine, Michele Satta, his son Giacomo, others producers find Sangiovese that can express the terroir or the capacity for the man to interpret Sangiovese here. But in general terms in Bulgari, Sangiovese could have more too much quick ripening, in particular respect to the perfect Sangiovese inside Tuscany, Chianti Classico, Higher vineyards, Montalcino in the everywhere. And so in Bulgari we are lucky because each variety can have good production, but to produce important wine to be drinked everywhere in the world, you have to produce the best interpretation of the soil.
Yeah, and we'll go back to where we started, and to get the best, you need to have a vineyard that's been well planted in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's otherwise, we call it a stone in your shoe on Sassonella and La Scarpa. A stone in your shoe, you're always having to retrofit and make up for a badly planted vineyard. It looks like you've inherited some very, very good vineyards.
Yeah. Here.
And we wish you, Leonardo Raspini, every success.
Thank you very much.
In your new career at Tenuta Argentiera.
Grazie,
it's a beautiful
grazie
day,
molto.
Really stunning.
Very beautiful, and these days, beautiful days to harvest and to a sun that is shining.
If you want to get an absolutely fantastic view of the Tuscan coast, where you can really see where the hills descend, and then there's forest, and then there's the strip of coastline, and then the blue sea, the Tyrrhenian Sea beyond, you have to come to Tenuta Argentiera. You stand on the winery roof. They've got a green roof, like a grass, like a football pitch. It's grass, even underneath is the winery. You stand on that roof, it's very safe, it's flat, and you have an absolutely spectacular view. Vero.
Verissimo.
Yeah. I'm going to be your tourist consultant now. Your tourism consultant.
Grazie.
When they fire me from the podcast, I'm going to knock on, you're going to get an email from me.
Okay.
Do you remember the guy that did interview? I need a job.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ciao. Really nice to see you.
Again.
Grazie tanto.
Grazie molto.
You've spoken with great passion and knowledge about what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Grazie. Di nuovo.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.